So, what's on the Thanksgiving list today? What are we thankful for? Ashley, wave at them. Ashley, Michael, wave at them. Where are you? Michael's right here. They started hanging out at High Point in this last Saturday. Is that right, Michael? What did you do? Give them a big hand. So they don't have to go very far on their list to decide what they're going to give God thanks for this Thanksgiving season. This is the third couple I know about that began hanging out at High Point, got engaged. I actually did the wedding ceremony for one of them. And Michael, unfortunately, the other two couples haven't come back. So, you know, once you get married, don't forget us. You know, you met here, you owe us, you come back and come to High Point. It's good to see everybody here today. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." I tweeted this morning along this theme and said, circumstances either make you bitter or better. Same circumstances. Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble. Is it going to make you bitter? Is it going to make you better? Giving thanks is a big part of that. Now, that's not just a Christian virtue. Cicero, the Roman orator, said a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. We're going to talk about giving thanks today. And so I'd ask you, as you approach the Thanksgiving season, and by the way, this is our Thanksgiving meal. We don't meet next Wednesday. If you come down here, you're going to be by yourself, okay? Two or three maybe, but no High Point next Wednesday. But as you approach Thanksgiving, what's on your list to give God thanks? We're going to see a little video in which two guys at a health club are discussing that very thing.
You know, I am so thankful for my car. I love my car.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for Twinkies. I love Twinkies.
Yep.
And I'm thankful for TiVo. That changed my life.
Yep.
And I'm thankful that I don't live in a third world country. Boo.
Yep.
Thankful for my gym membership. I mean, look at me.
Yep.
What do you think about Bart?
I'm thankful that Jesus died on the cross for my sins so I wouldn't have to spend eternity in hell. That's about it.
I was gonna say that. I just didn't know we were talking about spiritual stuff.
Yep.
Good question. For what are you thankful? Didn't know we were gonna talk about spiritual stuff. Ephesians 5:20 is one of my favorite verses. Paul says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father always for everything. So what is Thanksgiving and what does it do for us? Number one, let's talk about the who of Thanksgiving. In verse 8, he addresses this to the children of light. There's a big interplay in the New Testament between light and darkness. Those that dwell in darkness, those that dwell in light. Jesus is the light of the world. We are children of light. I've got a picture that I've shown you before out of the Congress in Cape Town I attended recently. Four different guys, four different nations. They're separated, as I thought about this, they're separated by costume. Guy looks like a duck hunter on next to the left. Their costume, that they're separated by custom. They're separated by cuisine. It was interesting having 63 nations. We had to have a buffet line with stuff I could not pronounce, much less would put in my mouth. But they were separated by cuisine. Some people loved parts of the buffet that I could not stand. They're separated by all those, but they're united in Christ. United in Christ. Children of light. Children whom God, the Father of lights, has bestowed every good and perfect gift on, we need to be thankful. We need to give thanks. I spent about an hour and a half sometime recently with a member of our church that's really going through a hard time. I'm not a counselor. Don't claim to be a counselor. He just needed someone to kind of pour out his heart to. And, you know, I mean, as far as I know, with him, walks with the Lord, faithful servant, kind of. But both of his stepsons have faced felony charges, served time, drugs, alcohol, can't keep jobs, keep showing up on his doorstep. That's one whole issue. Three times he's been diagnosed with cancer. He's currently in remission. He talked about the history of going back three generations of mental illness, and then the challenge is day by day of taking care of things and paying the bills. And I mean, an hour and a half of this. But you know, at the very end, he looked me in the eye and he said, "But you know, I don't want to sound like a complainer, because I know there are a lot of people in our church worse off than me that would gladly trade places with me." My jaw just hit the floor, and I said, "You know what? I don't know of anybody that would trade places with you, quite frankly. You know, I don't know of anyone." But, you know, as I walked away from that meeting, I thought, you know, at the end of the day, even in all those terrible circumstances, his maturity in Christ is shown in that he has a thankful heart. I'm sure a lot of people would rather have my problems than their problems. I don't know about that. But wherever we are, we shouldn't be controlled by circumstances. We ought to have a thankful heart and give thanks. So who is all of us, children of light? What is we give thanks? That expression is used about 135 times, our variation there. And generally, there's a difference between just a feeling of thanksgiving and giving thanks. I mean, I knew an old guy that his wife said, "He never tells me he loves me." And I said, "What's the deal? Why don't you tell her you love her?" And he said, "I did the day we were married. And if that ever changes, I'll make sure I let her know." Well, it's not enough to just have a feeling. You need to express it with words. Give thanks, not just feel thankful. I heard about a lady that was on the New York subway system during the holiday season. It's kind of a stereotype, I suppose. But, you know, she had the shopping bags and the parcels and was trying to get on there and trying to grab for a strap to hang on, and it was packed. And a gentleman stood up and said, "Ma'am, why don't you take my seat?" And she fainted dead away. So they revived her, and he said, "I didn't mean to startle you. I know it's an unusual occasion, but I wanted you to have my seat." And she said, "Thank you." And he fainted. I mean, it's just, we're kind of in a society that expressing thanks is not the norm. I mean, we may smile, we may nod, we may give a little wave, but even in your family, when they do something for you, let them know you appreciate it. Verbalize it. Thank you. And we ought to do the same thing with God. Giving thanks. The third thing is the when. When. He said always. And that's so hard. That's so hard. I mean, 1 Thessalonians, the verse I read, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." So, you know, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well. I think I've got a picture of Thanksgiving dinner last year where we invited some people over, and everybody's smiling, everybody's happy, got lots of food on the table. It's easy to give thanks in those kinds of circumstances, but can you give thanks in all circumstances? Well, it's been said that the message is filtered through the medium. In other words, can we trust the guy that's saying this, that he lived what he said? I would direct you to Acts, the 27th chapter, where we have one of the best accounts of ancient literature of any type on sailing. And it talks about tacking and sailing and tackle and sailors and the response. And it's Paul in a storm. And those of you who've read through Acts, you remember the story. It's a 14-night storm. First of all, Paul told them at the very beginning, don't leave the harbor. It was a time of the year that storms were prevalent on the Mediterranean, and he had kind of a premonition or a vision. He had a word from the Lord, and he told the captain of the ship, don't leave the harbor. You're going to put us in danger. Well, they disregarded his advice. Generally speaking, when someone disregards my advice, I just say, okay, no skin off my nose, go wreck your ship. But Paul happened to be on this ship, and so they were in a 14-night storm, okay? They disregarded his wisdom. They first of all started throwing over all the cargo. Now, that's bad because that's the way they made their money. Then they threw over all the tackle to lighten the load of the ship. At the last, the sailors are trying to abandon ship. And he goes to the owner of the ship and he says, look, if you let those sailors off, we're all going to die because none of us know how to sail this ship. So they, by force, there were some Roman soldiers on there. Paul was being taken to maybe be tried for his life. He was a prisoner, but he seems to, in the chapter, to be the only one that knows what's going on. And so the sailors are trying to abandon ship. He has another vision in which he realizes they're going to be okay. And in the latter part of this chapter, when it was daylight, Paul urged them all to take food, saying, it doesn't say the storm's over, but you kind of get the idea that maybe the storm has passed. When it was about daylight, Paul urged them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day that you've been waiting and going without food, having eaten nothing. Therefore, if you've ever been in a ship and gotten seasick, you can kind of relate to that. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for this has to do with your survival, since none of you, this is a promise, will lose a hair from your head. Some of you would like that promise as well. Listen to this verse. We've already read in this passage there were 276 people on this ship. There were soldiers, there were prisoners, there were sailors. This was a tough crowd, okay? Cuss like a sailor, you've heard that expression, right? This was a tough crowd. 276 people on board. After he said these things and had taken some bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And when he broke it, he began to eat. Then all became encouraged and took food themselves. I had a seminary professor one time when he covered this passage. He goes, that pretty well solved the dilemma of me ever praying in public, like in a restaurant or something. You know, if Paul could do it in that circumstance, I could certainly bow my head and give thanks to God for food when I'm at Papacitos. You know, this is a tough, tough situation. And so when Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, this is a guy that lived out what he taught. And when he says in all circumstances, he means in all circumstances. Now, I no more than left the office 30 minutes ago, and I was mad. I have a homeless guy that I've been trying to minister to. He's an older guy, and he was actually kind of rooting around in our garbage cans for something to eat. So I gave him a gift card to our culinary services there at the church. We offer lunch every day. We have snacks during the day. And I said to him, look, just use this card. You get whatever you want when you're here, and I'll pay for it, okay? But I don't want you going through the garbage cans. That's just not right, and it's not healthy for you. So that has worked out pretty well. And so the director of our kitchen saw me in the hall just a while ago, and he said, you know, he said, has so-and-so seen you, the homeless guy? And I said, no, I hadn't seen him. He goes, well, his card ran out of money, and we had to turn him away today. So I told him he had to see you before he got any more. And I thought, oh, man, you know, I had given clear instructions. Just replenish that card. Just give him food. We don't want him to go hungry. And I thought, now he's going to get paranoid. He's going to feel like I've just cut him off. Nobody loves him, you know. So I walked out of the building mad. I was mad at the people that didn't go by my instructions. I was mad at the situation. I was mad that people have to go hungry, you know. And I walked out to the car, and I thought, in all circumstances, give thanks to God. So what is there to give thanks for here, you know? And I really had to think about that. And I think it's good. It's a good exercise. When you feel mad, when you feel discouraged, when you feel things are not going your way, when things don't turn out the way you want them to, how can you give thanks to God? And I was reminded of a story. This may or may not apply, but I was reminded of it, so I guess the Lord brought it to mind. We had a church in Oklahoma that was the fastest growing and ended up being the largest church in Oklahoma. And we just didn't have any parking. And that's the typical thing with a growing church. You run out of parking before you run out of anything else. Well, there was a big store across the street that had lots of parking. It's Brannon's Grocery Store. In fact, I served at this church for like 13 years. And when we were the biggest church in the state of Oklahoma, people still referred to us as the church across the street from Brannon's. I mean, that was always the way we were known. And so our pastor, John Bazzagno, who actually came down to First Baptist Houston to become pastor, our pastor at the time went to the owner of that store. It's an independent grocery store. They own their own stuff, you know. And he said, you know, I know that you're kind of a 24-hour operation and people are coming in there all the time, but it seems to me like you wouldn't use all of your parking on Sunday morning when we need it. can our people park there without penalty? And the owner thought about it a little bit, and he goes, yeah, you can. I want to do a good deed. I want to bless the church. But I'm going to ask that one Sunday a year, nobody park over here. He goes, you got a big sale or something? You know, what's the occasion? He goes, I just want you to remember where it comes from. And sometimes I think when we're withheld something, maybe we're going through and miss a paycheck or somebody doesn't pay us or whatever, and we get bitter about that and get upset because something we just thought was our entitlement didn't come through to us. I'm not saying God caused it, but I think the thought that ought to occur to us is, you know, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. And I need to remember where this is coming from. I don't need to take it for granted every day. So he says, give thanks in all things. And then verse 20, for everything. It's easy to give thanks for good things. Look at the picture of my grandkids. I'll do this every chance I get, okay? These are the three kids in Hong Kong, and they're all coming to see me in December. You got to hear their father, Tyler, speak down here four weeks ago. They're going to come and spend some time with us. And I mean, when you think of things like that, warm fuzzies, it's easy to give thanks for them. But in situations like with a homeless guy, that's a hard thing. I mean, I can give thanks that I don't have to, you know, go through garbage cans. I can certainly do that. But how can I give thanks for him? And I think that becomes an area of service. We give thanks for how God has blessed us. We don't question other people's circumstances. We just lend a hand wherever we can. We give thanks for everything. Now, you know, everything, we don't give thanks for sin. We don't give thanks for, you know, things like war and poverty and things like that. But on a personal level, in our own lives, we need to evaluate every single thing that happens to us and not become bitter. Allow it to make us better. And where do we give thanks? We give thanks to God the Father. Calvin Miller, the author and lecturer, said, the worst possible moment for the atheist is to feel truly thankful and have no one there to thank. It's kind of like the definition of an atheist at a funeral, all dressed up, or atheist who dies and they're having a funeral, he's all dressed up with nowhere to go. Where do you give thanks? You give thanks to God the Father. It was interesting. I read a story. It's back in the 90s. It's in another state. But a child came home with the Thanksgiving story. And the way it was told by the teacher in the curriculum that was in all the elementary school is they celebrated Thanksgiving because the pilgrims were thankful to the Indians for helping them. And the parent called the office and said, you know, I take a little issue with that. I think historically, it wasn't that they were thankful to the Indians. They were, in fact, thankful to God. And the principal said, that's your opinion. See, that's the culture we're in, is that you can rewrite history any way you want to. And more and more and more, our secular culture is pushing in that Thanksgiving is just the precursor to Black Friday. And Thanksgiving is a time to just eat a lot of food and watch football. But for a Christian, it's got to be a time that we direct our thoughts to heaven. We direct our thoughts to God. Listen to what George Washington said in proclaming the first Thanksgiving, October the 3rd, 1789. Quote, whereas it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee, this is back in the olden days, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Washington goes on to say, now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to be of service that great and glorious being who is the beneficent, author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him, capital H, our sincere and humble thanks. Amen. We give God thanks. We give God thanks. We didn't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Everything we have, we owe to God. So that's the where of thanks. And the how is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a picture of the worship event we went to on Sunday in Cape Town. And they are praising God, worshiping God, giving praise to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more culturally multicultural, pluralistic our society becomes, the harder it's going to be for us to unashamedly give thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's going to become a guiding post. I did a lesson preview this morning for our Sunday school classes, John, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And he said, I'm sending you a comforter. That's the end of chapter 15. He said, because you're going to be persecuted. They're going to run you out of the synagogues. There is going to become a time that people are going to kill you and say they're doing God's will. So there's a dividing line in our society, and we can have a testimony this Thanksgiving season by giving thanks to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unashamedly, because that's where we believe our blessings derive. So what does Thanksgiving do for you? Real quickly, in closing, let me give you five things that it helps. Is it going to make you better? Circumstances make you bitter or better? How does it make you better? Five things. Number one, it grows us. Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. And he concludes with gratitude. With gratitude. A toddler, what's their world look like? It's mine. What's yours is mine. What you have, I want, it's mine. It's all mine. Me, mine, and mine. That's a toddler's world. What's one of the first things we try to teach young people in terms of etiquette and being polite? Say please and thank you. Thank you is a sign of maturity. And as we thank God and acknowledge him for the good things that come into our life, it actually grows us in him. Thanksgiving, according to an editor, Maurice Dermett, said, Thanksgiving is a sure index of spiritual health. It's a measurement to the degree that you're thankful to God, you're acknowledging him. It's a faith loop in your life that actually grows you. It expands you. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Whatever you do, well, we're commanded to do a lot of things, to serve others and to show mercy to others and to love others. And as we do those things, it expands our ministry. Giving thanks to God takes away from the me focus, look what I've done, and puts it on others' focus and finally on God's focus. It expands us. It lifts us up. Ephesians 5:19-20. That's the minister of music's favorite verse, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving thanks to God. Jesus said, can bitter water and pure water, sweet water, come out of the same source? The answer is obviously no. And so if circumstances are going to make you bitter or better, you need to see what's issuing out of your mouth. Is it complaining, envying, grumbling, or is it giving thanks? Giving thanks to God. It's not a matter of how much you have. It's a matter of acknowledging God for what you have. A little 7-year-old wrote a letter to God and said, dear God, thank you for my little brother, but what I really prayed for was a puppy. And many of us kind of do this backhanded acknowledgement of God of, okay, God, you know, thank you that I live in America and I'm okay and I like Twinkies and thank you for my car. But really what I want, that's envying. That's jealousy. Giving thanks lifts us up beyond that bitter water. It revives us. Philippians 4:6 says, the Living Bible, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Then verse 7 says, and the and he said with thanksgiving. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Think about the progression here. Don't worry about anything, that's circumstances. Pray about everything, that's direct your attention towards God, with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart. Are you feeling unsettled? The doubts, I mean, think about what you thought about last thing before you went to bed last night, first thing when you got up this morning. I was thinking about where 11 people and two dogs are going to sleep in our house. You know, I was a little unsettled by that. I was thinking, do we need to go rent a motel room? What are we going to do? How are we going to get around? I'm thinking about all these logistical things. Don't worry about anything. You know, make a plan. Pray about everything. And God's peace will guard your heart. Again, it's a loop that revives us. Circumstances can take us bitter and take us down. The barrenness of busyness, just focusing on things that don't really matter for eternity. He's saying, direct your heart, direct your mind, direct your words to God, and that demonstrates faith. And as your faith is increased, then your life will be blessed. The next thing is that it settles us. Colossians 3:15 is parallel to Ephesians 5:19 and 20. And he said, let the peace of the Messiah control your hearts. Let the peace of the Messiah control your hearts. Stay away from envy and jealousy. Live in contentment. And with that contentment, acknowledge God. The last thing is it points us to him. Hebrews 13:15 said, let us continue to offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. My wife Bonnie came back from China July the 10th with an intestinal problem that we thought initially was a parasite, bacteria. We've gone to 3 doctors, 4 medications. Since that day, July 10th, she's lost 20 pounds. She's not feeling well. Today was about as bad as it's been this whole time. And so we've been really unsettled about that because the doctors can't seem to provide any answer to it. And I mean, we've done the whole natural, holistic, herbal, probiotics, you know, everything anybody's recommended to us, we've tried, and it doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot better. So that was the big issue. You know, we're praying about that. And then she goes and has a routine annual mammogram 11 days ago. And the day after that, she gets a call on her cell phone from a nurse that didn't have what you call the, you know, the gracious bedside manner. She says, Miss Self, we've spotted a mass on your left side, and you're going to have to come in for a sonogram. Bang, that's it. And so for 11 days, she's lived with that mass on the breast and, you know, all the things that you go through. And so she went in for a sonogram Monday, and they took a second mammogram. And this time the nurse gave her the privilege of looking at it. Said, there's the spot right there. There's the mass we're talking about. And so, you know, just chill bumps, and we're praying, and she's praying, and she's texting me in the waiting room, and I'm texting her back. And she says, now they're going to have to do a sonogram and see what's going on. So they did a sonogram, and she said, yeah, it's still there. I'm going to have to go talk to the radiologist. And the radiologist came back out and said, I'm going to do a second sonogram. And so this is getting pretty serious, you know. And so long story short, the radiologist looked at her, and she said, you're all clear. You can go. So Bonnie, in between the first sonogram and the second sonogram, was doing her daily devotional on her phone. She does 2 or 3, but she was doing one on her phone by an author out of Colorado, and it was out of Song of Solomon. And her last text to me had been, they spotted the spot, they showed it to me, really scary. That was her last text, okay? So she does this Bible study in the waiting room, and it's from Song of Solomon. And it says, Diane, what was the quote? My beloved?
My daughter, there is no blemish in you.
Isn't that amazing? So she's reading this on her phone. My daughter, there's no blemish in you. And then the radiologist comes out and goes, there's no blemish in you. You can go. And it's almost kind of like an Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know. These are not the ones you want, you know. We've got people in this room that didn't get good reports. And I'm not trying to make light of that. I mean, we've got people in this room that have suffered cancer, you know, you've had all kinds of bad circumstances. And her takeaway from that was number one, God wanted me to put this whole intestinal thing, my wife said, wanted me to put it in perspective. Yeah, it's been a nuisance. Yeah, it's been a problem. But compared to what things could be like, you know, she went away very, very grateful, very, very thankful. And I don't think God sent that spot, sent the bad mammogram. I don't think he sent that. But I think he used that in both of our lives to put things into perspective. And I would pray that at this Thanksgiving, you know, you don't have to have this major emotional moment to get the point across. Give thanks to God in everything. Don't be focusing on the things you don't have. Focus on what God has given you and give him great glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace to us. Father, I thank you that my wife got a clear report Monday. I mean, we had already gone down the road of what hospital we're going to go to and what procedures we're going to do and all those sorts of things. And Father, you gave us a time of great rejoicing. And I continue to pray for the problem she's got with the stomach. I mean, it didn't go away, but it put it in perspective. And I pray that all of our problems would be in perspective, that you're God, you're sovereign, you love us. You're going to teach us and train us through these things and grow us. So we pray at this Thanksgiving season, though we're not going to be together next week, help us each individually to give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his name I pray. Amen. God bless.